Morning code, coffee steams.
From archive to your ears, this is Daily Tech Feed from the Labs. Your comprehensive, encyclopedic compendium of all things research. Following the latest trends on archive.org, that's ARXIV.org. This is Frontier Science. I'm Fry.
And I'm Bob. Great to be here, Fry.
From the labs.
Fresh grass, wild schemes, new worlds in a PDF beam. Daily tech feed from the labs.
There's a problem hiding inside every AI lab right now. And it's not what you think. It's not about making models smarter or training them longer. It's about plumbing.
Plumbing.
Storage plumbing. Specifically, a team from Peking University, Tsinghua, and DeepSeek just published a paper that identifies what might be the most important bottleneck in agentic AI inference.
If it's not compute, what is it?
And it has nothing to do with compute. This bottleneck doesn't just hit DeepSeek, it hits everyone running multi-turn agents, from a rack of NVIDIA DGX machines all the way down to a cluster of Raspberry Pis on your desk. The physics is the same. The paper is called Dual Path, and today we're going to take it apart.
So let's set the scene. When most people think about LLM inference, they still picture chatbots. You send a message, you get a response. Maybe a few turns of back and forth, then you close the tab.
Chapter 1. The Agentic Shift.
So let's set the scene. When most people think about large language model inference, they still picture chatbots. You send a message, you get a response. Maybe a few turns of back and forth.
Right? And in that world, the bottleneck is straightforward. Prefill is compute-bound. You need raw floating-point operations to process the prompt. Decode is memory bandwidth bound. You need to stream model weights through the GPU for every output token. These are well understood problems.
But agentic workloads look nothing like that.
Nothing at all. Think about a coding agent working on a real task. It reads through a codebase, runs a shell command, reads the output, edits a file, runs another command to test, reads the test output. Each of these is a turn, and in DeepSeek's production, traces real agents, real coding tasks. The average agent run spans 157 turns.
That's a work session.
Exactly. And each turn only appends about 400 new tokens. But here's the number that changes everything, because virtually all the context from previous turns is reused. The key value cache hit rate is 98.7%. So, on each turn, you've got tens of thousands of tokens of accumulated context. And almost all of it was already computed in earlier turns. It's just sitting in storage, waiting to be loaded back in.
So, the GPU's actual computation is tiny. A few hundred tokens of new prefill.
Tiny. And the input-output demand is enormous. The paper defines something they call the cache-compute ratio. How many gigabytes of key-value cache you need to load per petaflop of computation for DeepSeek's model at typical agent context lengths. This ratio is around 13 to 36 gigabytes per petaflop. For a dense model like Qwen 2.5 32 billion parameters without the multi-head latent attention compression tricks, it can reach 267 gigabytes per petaflop.
At that ratio, the GPU is a space heater. It's burning electricity waiting for data.
And it's getting worse. From NVIDIA Ampere to Blackwell, the ratio of input-output bandwidth to compute has decreased by 14.4 times. Compute grows exponentially. Storage bandwidth does not.
267. At that ratio, the GPU is essentially a space heater. It's burning electricity while waiting for data to show up.
Every generation. And that's the key insight I want people to hold on to. Because it applies whether you're running Blackwell GPUs or Apple Silicon. Chapter 2. The Asymmetry Problem.
Okay, so let's dig into the specific architecture these systems use. Most serious inference deployments use prefill to code disaggregation now, right? Separate pools of machines for each phase.
Right. Prefill engines handle the heavy computation of processing new tokens and loading cached context. Decode engines handle the sequential memory-bound work of generating output tokens one at a time. After prefill finishes, the complete key value cache gets transferred from prefill to decode via RDMA. Remote direct memory access over a high-speed compute network. The decode engines then generate tokens and write the resulting cache back to distributed storage.
And here's where the asymmetry shows up. In this architecture, who's responsible for loading the cached KV cache from storage?
Only the prefill engines. That's the conventional design. When a new turn comes in, the prefill engine reads the enormous cached context from distributed storage through its storage network interface card, computes cache for the few hundred new tokens, then ships everything to the decode engine.
So every prefill engine's storage NIC is getting absolutely crushed with read traffic.
Saturated completely. Meanwhile, the decode engines are sitting there with perfectly functional storage network cards that are essentially idle. Consider the hardware. A typical cluster node has 8 GPUs, 8 400 gigabit per second compute network cards. One per GPU. And one 400 gigabit per second storage network card shared across all 8 GPUs, the prefill nodes are bottlenecked on that single shared card. The decode nodes are wasting theirs.
It's like a highway where only the northbound lanes are open and the southbound lanes are completely empty.
Or more, depending on your prefill to decode ratio, and you can't just add more storage cards to the prefill nodes. The physical topology is fixed. DualPath's insight is you don't need more hardware, you need to use the hardware you already have. Chapter 3, the DualPath solution.
So the core idea, use the idle decode side storage cards to help with loading.
Right. DualPath introduces a second data path. In addition to the conventional storage to prefill path, there's a storage to decode path. Key value cache data gets loaded from distributed storage into a decode engine's host memory first, then transferred onward to the prefill engine over the high bandwidth compute network via RDMA.
But the compute network is already carrying model inference traffic. All-to-all communications for expert parallelism. Reduce scatter, all gather. These are latency sensitive. Won't the cache transfer traffic destroy inference performance? And you can't just add more storage NICs to the prefill nodes?
Enormous aggregate bandwidth that's intermittently idle, so they route everything through the compute network card and use InfiniBand virtual lanes for quality of service isolation. Model inference gets 99% of the bandwidth reserved on a high priority lane. Cache transfer traffic goes on a low-priority lane, scavenging whatever's left.
Scavenging. I like that word. Even the scraps of an 8x400 gigabit fabric are substantial.
The hardware arbiter handles all the scheduling in silicon. No software traffic shaper needed, which matters because you can't do reliable software scheduling at sub-millisecond granularity.
So, the core idea is elegant. Use the idle decode side storage NICs to help with the loading.
For offline batch inference. Think reinforcement learning, training rollouts. DualPath delivers up to 1.87 times the throughput of the baseline on DeepSeek's 660 billion parameter model. For online serving, the average improvement is 1.96 times throughput without violating any latency targets. Nearly double the agent sessions on the same hardware.
Nearly double. That's not a marginal optimization. That's the difference between agents being economically viable and being a money-losing demo.
Chapter 4, the universal diagnosis.
Okay, this is a data center paper. DeepSeek scale infrastructure. InfiniBand fabric. Custom distributed file system. Who else cares?
Everyone running multi-turn agents, because the specific cure, DualPath loading RDMA-based cache shuttling InfiniBand traffic isolation. That requires data center hardware. I want to be honest about that. But the diagnosis is universal. The cache compute ratio problem hits every piece of hardware.
Walk me through it. Start small.
Let's start as small as it gets. four Raspberry Pi 5s clustered together, running a 7 billion parameter quantized model. The Pi 5 has a decent neural processing unit, about 30 trillion operations per second. Your storage is a micro SD card or a USB solid-state drive. Your network is gigabit Ethernet.
1 gigabit per second. That's your storage network equivalent.
Exactly. Now run a multi-turn agent on this cluster. After 20 or 30 turns, you've accumulated tens of thousands of tokens of context. The key value cache for those tokens needs to be loaded from wherever you stored it. The SD card, the USB drive, maybe a shared network, every single turn. And you're loading it over gigabit Ethernet.
So the Pi's compute is idle while it waits for cache to arrive over the network.
The exact same physics as the dual path paper, just at a completely different scale. If one Pi is handling decode, generating tokens.
So they claim this dual path approach is bottleneck free under most practical configurations. That's a strong claim. What's the analysis? But practically, the Pi doesn't have RDMA. There's no hardware quality of service isolation. You can't run InfiniBand virtual lanes on gigabit Ethernet.
Correct. You can't build dual path on a Raspberry Pi cluster. What you can do is calculate your cache compute ratio and understand that you're I/O bound, not compute bound, which means the right investment is faster storage and faster networking, not a more powerful processor. That's the diagnostic value. Chapter 5, Climbing the Ladder.
In the practical upshot?
This is where it gets interesting, and also where you have to be really honest about limitations. Thunderbolt 4 is fast. 40 gigabits per second. But it's a single bus, it carries everything. Model parameter communication between nodes, cache transfers, storage reads. There's no physical isolation between compute traffic and storage traffic.
What about outside that range?
Exactly. You cannot build dual path on a Mac mini cluster, full stop. But you can still calculate your cache compute ratio and discover that for a 32,000 token agent context on a quantized 70 billion parameter model, you're almost certainly I/O bound on Thunderbolt 4. The Apple Silicon Neural Engine is fast. Thunderbolt 4 is not fast enough to feed it cached context at the rate it can consume it.
Here's where I push back. This analysis assumes perfect load balancing, no network congestion, ideal PCIe topology where every GPU-Nike pair sits under the same PCIe switch. How much does messy reality degrade these theoretical numbers? What? By faster interconnect?
The takeaway is understand your bottleneck. If you're running multi-turn agents and you're thinking about upgrading to a machine with more compute, stop. Run the numbers. You might be better off waiting for Thunderbolt 5, which triples the bandwidth to 120 gigabits per second, or investing in faster local NVMe storage, or keeping more cache in memory instead of spilling to disk.
Thunderbolt 5 at 120 gigabits per second starts to get interesting, though. That's 3 times Thunderbolt 4. Does that change the equation?
It starts to approach the regime where you could potentially dedicate bandwidth.
Let's address the obvious question. This paper comes out of DeepSeek. They're running on their own infrastructure. Now let's jump to where things get real. DGX Spark 3FS, their custom distributed file system, InfiniBand Fabric, Hopper GPUs, custom models with MLA and sparse attention. Does any of this translate to the rest of the industry? But you absolutely need the physical network separation. Compute and storage on different fabrics. I've seen that build. They got over 6,000 tokens per second on Qwen 34 billion in full precision.
Over 6,300 tokens per second for prompt processing. Now picture 8 Sparks. That's 1 terabyte of total memory. 2 Mikrotik switches.
What about the memory overhead? They need buffer space on both prefill and decode engines. And at that point, you have the full architecture. Separate compute and storage networks, RDMA. Enough bandwidth to run traffic isolation. You could literally implement dual path. And critically, dual path works with SSD-backed storage. During RL training rollouts, when DRAM is occupied by offloaded optimizer states, Mooncake's approach simply can't function. Failure modes? So the threshold is, do you have dedicated RDMA network cards and enough bandwidth to run separate traffic classes?
That's the line below it. Dual paths diagnosis helps you make better hardware decisions. Above it, dual paths actual implementation becomes feasible and at production scale.
What about smaller clusters? Not everyone has 1,000 GPUs.
You get the full benefit, the nearly 2x throughput improvement on the same iron. Chapter 6, Hardware Trends and Why This Matters.
Let's zoom back out. Every major lab is pushing toward agents. Anthropic's Claude runs computer sessions for hours. OpenAI's agents handle multi-step tasks. DeepSeek is training agents with reinforcement learning at enormous scale. Every one of these will hit the storage wall. Let me connect the dots. Every major lab is pushing toward agentic systems. Anthropic's Claude can use computers for hours. OpenAI's agents run multi-step tasks. DeepSeek is training agents with reinforcement learning at scale. Google DeepMind's Gemini agents handle million token contexts. Every single one of these systems will hit the storage wall this paper describes.
That's not an NVIDIA-specific problem. Apple Silicon shows the same pattern. The M4's neural engine is dramatically faster than the M1's. The memory bandwidth improvement is much more modest. The Thunderbolt spec has barely moved until very recently.
So whether you're NVIDIA or Apple, compute races ahead and I/O falls behind.
Universally, and for agentic workloads specifically, there's a compounding factor. Agents get longer, more turns, more accumulated context, more cache to reload every turn. The working set grows over time. DeepSeek's traces show average context reaching 55,000 tokens over 157 turns. Next year, it'll be longer. The year after, longer still.
The reinforcement learning angle is worth emphasizing, too. When you're training an agent with RL, the rollout phase generates thousands of agent trajectories simultaneously. Each one is a multi-turn session. You need massive inference throughput for rollout. And your host memory is already occupied by optimizer states and reward model weights.
Right. The popular approach of caching everything in system memory simply can't work when that memory is spoken for. Dual path works with solid state storage. It doesn't compete with training state for memory. It's arguably the only published system that addresses both online serving and RL training rollouts.
And at smaller scales, the same constraint appears. If your Mac Mini's unified memory is holding the model weights, there's less room for caching key value data. You spill to disk, and now you're back to the storage bandwidth bottleneck.
Same physics, every scale. The model fills memory, the cache spills to storage. Storage can't keep up with compute. The question is always the same.
The RL training connection is worth emphasizing. When you're training an agent with reinforcement learning, the rollout phase generates thousands of multi-turn trajectories simultaneously. Each trajectory is an independent agent run. You need massive inference throughput for rollout, and you need it on hardware where DRAM is already occupied by training state. DualPath is arguably the only published system that addresses this specific constraint. So what's the practical takeaway for our listeners?
Three things first.
And the hardware trend is relentless. Every new GPU generation makes compute cheaper relative to I/O. The problem DualPath solves isn't going away. Second, it's intensifying. So what's the summary? The sexiest problems in AI right now are infrastructure problems.
The diagnosis still helps you invest wisely. Faster storage, faster interconnect, more memory for caching, if you're above it. DGX Spark, dedicated network cards, proper fabric.
DualPath is plumbing. Brilliant. Elegant plumbing. And third?
The trend is relentless. Every new chip generation widens the gap between compute and I/O. Systems-level solutions like DualPath aren't optional optimizations. They're the infrastructure that determines whether agentic AI is economically viable. At any scale.
The best infrastructure paper is the one that teaches you something about your own setup, even if you can't run the code.
Even if you can't run the code. Until next time. Dispatches from the Edge.
This podcast is entirely AI generated. Scripts written by Claude Opus 4.6. Voices rendered by Tianwen 3TTS. That's Quen 3TTS for us English speakers. Find daily tech feed from the labs on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever fine podcasts are distributed. All of our shows here at Daily Tech Feed are available at pod.c457.org. Not affiliated with any companies or researchers discussed. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you tomorrow.
Wild schemes, new worlds in a PDF beam. Daily tech feed from the labs. Tiny sparks turning into maps. Archive pages in a gentle sway. Tomorrow's tricks in my ears today.